pay everyone at least £10 an hour, even those under the age of 18. This is the call from the Labour leader, Jeremy Corbyn. Currently, under 18s are entitled to a minimum wage of £4.35 per hour, compared with £8.21 for over 25s. So what do you reckon? Earlier, I spoke to the businessman Erwin Armstrong and People Before Profit councillor Eamon McCann. I began by asking Erwin what he thought of this.
Well, I think Labour have come out with a policy here which is ill thought out and really trying to target young people's votes. There are two problems with this. The first problem is if you make 16-year-olds and 25-year-olds exactly the same, employers are not going to employ 16-year-olds. They're going to employ the 25-year-olds. So you'll have an immediate disadvantage to the young people in that they won't be getting more money. They just won't be getting the jobs because they go to older people. The second problem with it is we are operating in a world economy and we have to compete in the world economy. And if you keep increasing the minimum wage, as we have been doing over the past few years, we are not competitive in the world sense.
Yeah, but this this is a different discussion this morning. So there's a separate discussion about what level should the minimum wage for everyone be. But this discussion today is about why do we pay those people who are deemed to be good enough to do the job and they're doing the same job as a 26, 27, 30, 40-year-old, why do we pay them, you know, if they're under 18, half?
Yeah, I have no problem with people doing the same job to the same standard being paid the same money. My problem is that a 16-year-old with no experience in most cases will not perform as well as an older people
Eamon?
With several years' experience.
Well, I believe that if you have if you're doing the same job, I mean, we can come back to the point that Erwin's just made about whether they would do it as well. But if you're capable of doing the job, you're entitled to the rate for the job. And the rate for the job cannot be set according to your age. If you extend this principle across the economy and across age ranges, so what we would get, sort of the older you get, the more money you get, and the bigger the differential all the time between workers of one age and workers of another. That's simply inequitable. I think that, you know, young people are vastly underestimated. I see no reason to believe that in a number of jobs, a 16-year-old is going to do it as well as a 26-year-old. When there's questions of training, we should have, you know, sort of a reintroduction or a vast expansion of apprenticeship schemes. And in that situation, because there's training as well as work being involved, nobody that I know, including Jeremy Corbyn, is suggesting that apprentices should be paid exactly the same as a qualified worker. That's to do with qualifications. It's not to do with age. So we can handle these things if there's proper structures. And all the international evidence is that if you increase the minimum wage, you do not hit at employment. You do not hit at the employment of lower paid workers. This simply hasn't happened. I could bore your listeners with examples of that, particularly from the United States, which provides the best way, the best conditions for comparing the effect of different levels of minimum pay on local employment. There's no evidence for it.
Go on, Erwin.
I think, Eamon, your problem is you're not really living in the global world. I spend a lot of time in China, and the people there are getting paid about $200 a month, and that's a good salary, which is $50 or £30 a week. We are trying to compete with that. And it doesn't matter what society you're in. You will finish up like Donald Trump putting up barriers against China and to stop imports because the U.S. is not competing with China. It's importing hundreds of billions of goods from China. And that is holding down employment in the U.S.
So this is a race to the bottom, isn't it? That's what you're advocating. A race to the bottom rather than protecting workers and their rights and their levels of income.
I'm living in a real world where we compete globally. I cannot change the Chinese rates of pay. It's not up to me to do that. I have to accept that they exist. I have to accept that the Chinese economy is investing in R&D. I have to accept in many cases they're in front of us.
If you take what you're saying to its logical, farcical end, then you would say that we would be slightly more able to compete with people if we got rid of all workers' rights, if we didn't have minimum time working standards, if we didn't have health and safety standards. It was just a free-for-all.
Yeah, but Stephen,
we've got to have our own benchmark in this country about what's right.
Stephen, you cannot live beyond your means, whether you're a country or a person or whatever you are. You cannot continually live beyond your means. We are now sitting at a deficit of, I think, something like $2 trillion in debt as a country because we're spending money that we aren't actually making. And the interest on that alone, I think, is similar to the cost of the defence. We cannot keep doing that.
All right, Eamon?
Well, you see, if it were the case that, I mean, holding wages back and refusing to give a minimum wage, if that were the case, then we would expect to find, would we not, that in countries where there were very low wages, there would almost be no unemployment. And in countries where there are high wages and high minimum wages, you would find vast unemployment. In other words, if there was any substance to Irwin's argument, we would find a splendid employment situation in sub-Saharan Africa because the wages are so low.
Let's let Eamon finish. Let's have him finish.
I mean, and you would expect to find, would you not, very high unemployment in Germany, for example, and yet the opposite is the case. That of the country where there's labour regulation and workers' rights, not enough as far as I'm concerned, but nevertheless a framework for workers' rights and for minimum pay and so forth in a number of countries and in states in the United States, that you would expect to find that there's substance to Irwin's argument. You would expect to find that the places where workers' rights and pay are protected would be losing jobs now and would have higher unemployment. But as the circle goes round and round, what you find is that, of course, we have better standards of employment, pay, better standards of living in those places where there's high pay, including high minimum wage.
Yeah, but I think the flaw in your argument here, Eamon, is you're comparing sub-Saharan Africa, where there is no investment, no R&D, no industrialization whatsoever, with a country like China, where unemployment virtually doesn't exist and is very successful. It's the China we have to worry about. It's not sub-Saharan Africa we need to look at.
And the same argument applies. You're saying, that they're doing quite well in China, lots of investment in R&D and all these things, and you're saying it's going to China rather than to sub-Saharan Africa, even though, as I've pointed out, the logic of your argument would suggest that where you've got dirt-poor wages, you should have more investment because it would be more profit. The world doesn't work like that. And as I say,
Eamon, I think one of the things you have to accept, and but I also go to Africa, China is investing billions in Africa. To take over control of lots of Africa, and they're putting money into healthcare, they're putting money into lots of things to develop those countries so they will be customers for China. We're not getting that business because we can't go in and do those things to any reasonable extent, or if you do, we do it extremely badly. I think we have to look at the world as not the world we would all love to live in, because the world that we are living in is highly competitive, and China is trying to dominate the world market. Trump, whether you support him or not doesn't matter, has said, look, I don't like this. China is coming in and they're taking over our industries, they're doing everything. I'm going to put up tariffs against them to keep them out. But that won't work either, because it means, in the end, America won't be able to export. So this is not a small local issue. It's a worldwide issue. And I will repeat again, you cannot continue to spend money you don't have. You can't have a standard of living which is above that you generate. And that is the problem we have today. Our expectations of where we want to be are far in excess of our ability to pay for them.
Well, look, sort of the reason why we have economic disaster areas and all the rest of it doesn't have to do with minimum wages. And let me go back to what I think you're talking about living in the real world. Let's look at the real world in the United States. Now, the reason why the United States is very interesting, sir, is that states can, there's a federal minimum wage paid to federal employees and imposed by law sort of on a employment generally in those states. I mean, New York is a different minimum wage to Alabama, to Illinois, to California, et cetera, et cetera. Now, if there was any, so these are places which are side by side, same jurisdiction, You know, same currency, right, side by side with vastly different, ranging from about £7, $7.50 right up to Seattle and California, $15 minimum. New York about to go to $15 an hour minimum. You would expect, wouldn't you, that the places which is the higher minimum wages would have the bigger economic problems, the higher unemployment, the more poverty, etc. Exactly the opposite is true. I mean, compare the New York to Alabama. Compare California to Georgia. Compare Oregon to Mississippi. Go up this and look at, and this is all available on the web. You look at the comparisons, and you will see that it may be counterintuitive, you know, but the fact of the matter is, in the real world, higher minimum wages do not mean higher unemployment. The opposite is the case.
Okay, well, listen, we need to leave it there, I'm afraid, but thank you very much indeed.
0330 80 55 55. Wynne and Warren Point. Morning, Wynne.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning, how are you doing?
Well, I think this is rather fascinating when they're talking about the minimum wage. Do you know carers get, basically a carer gets about 15 to 30 p an hour? An hour for looking after their loved ones 24/7. And if you are a daughter and you know to look after your mother, you can't even live in the same house. We get £64 a week max. And I look after my son 24/7. 24/7 my son needs a care. And there's loads of children in this country and there's loads of adults. You were mentioning a programme there a while ago. You says people were stranded in hospital with care packages because they weren't available. Well, if their loved ones could give them so-and-so to help, why would they not pay them a reasonable sum of money? They're talking about minimum wage. So they don't even look after the people who have to give up their work to look after their loved ones at £64. And if you look after...
Well, the state saves a fortune from carers, don't they? Because if carers weren't doing it, the state would have to provide for that care. The state couldn't. It isn't even just about money. It's about resourcing.
But if one of the guests, they're willing to put them into a home and pay them £700 a week, and you know what's going on in the homes.
And a weekly carers allowance, what's that, £66.15, I think it is?
No, £64.45 is the maximum. And if you look after two, they don't give you the £64. They take an extra £15 off you because you're looking after two.
Wynne, thank you. Fred and more. Morning, Fred.
Hello.
Now, don't forget what this debate's about today. It is about, look, under 18-year-olds, Corbyn is essentially saying that their minimum wage should double. What this debate is about today is that if you've got a young person doing the same job as an older person, is it right that they get paid a lot less?
Well, I suppose skills come into it, and it takes time to get skill. But what my comment was, and I'm sure you have it in front of you there, that many years ago, I think as gentleman said, I think some years ago, I forget who was in power at the time, said that we are paying ourselves too much. And so many people in the UK have been paying themselves too much and producing too little. That's a known fact. As a matter of fact, there's one figure which crossed my mind that has to do with the price of food. When the social state report in 1948, the average workman spent 45 to 50% of his wages on food. Now they only spend between 7.5 and 10. That's the sort of component, and the rest is spent on cars, clothes, luxury goods, leisure and holidays. You see, we are paying ourselves too much. Hello?
No, I'm listening to you, Fred. I'm listening.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, we've been living in a bubble for so long. I'll give you, you're talking about skills. I'll give an example, and this happened in one of Northern Ireland's biggest industries and biggest employer. Five men working in a certain department on a specialist equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them found out that they were doing all the work and the other three were swinging the lead. So they left and started up their own business, and within a few years now, they're employing somewhere between 25 or 30, and they're just going worldwide. You see, I have a young lad beside my neighbour's son who works in a recruitment agency.
Yes.
I says, they're opening a new office in another town, which is quite a lot of foreign nationals in it. And I say, you'll tell me a foreign national. Oh, no, he says, well, no foreign nationals. They work. I says, who doesn't work? Well, he says, I know 25% of the people don't want to work. 25% of people for another known or unknown deficiency can't work, or so they say. 25% are willing to work if they get suitable work, and another 25% want to work.
All right. Fred, thank you very much indeed. Thank you.